Yeah, first of all, I would like to thank organizers for inviting me to this very interesting and exciting workshop. It was really very, very good experience, and it still is. I really learned a lot from the talks which I attended already, and I'm sure I will learn more until it's over. It's never over. So I'm going to use this opportunity, to use this invitation to speak, for which I thank the organizers, to report on this activity which I am involved for a number of years. That concerns the deformations of two-dimensional quantum field theories, and specifically I will be talking about the deformation of two-dimensional conformal field theories in the classical limit. It's probably not yet in the stage where after all, we are here doing bootstrap, so it's probably not in the stage yet where you bootstrap this kind of deformed theories, but you will. So that's basically my excuse for entering with this talk to this meeting. Anyways, what we are talking about. So this is a partly work based on ongoing work of with Stefano Negra. The work is still in progress, so I cannot point a publication or anything. But let me just briefly sketch the situation. I wrote here some equations, and one of the main points of my talk will be to advertise this set of classical equations. I will comment on the structure a little later, but I put them in the corner because these equations themselves are a part of what I'm going to report and advertise. But anyways, what we are doing here, we start with the conformal field theory. And in this audience, I don't think I need to give anything in the way of introduction or even six notations. So I have a conformal field theory, and I mean two-dimensional conformal field theory with all its attributes. So we have a holomorphic components of and anti-holomorphic components of the energy momentum tensor. These are something proportional to ZZ component of the energy momentum tensor, and this is proportional to Z bar component of the energy momentum tensor. The trace component, of course, it's assumed that the trace component, the energy momentum tensor, is defined in such a way that its trace component is zero. All right, that's the starting point in two-dimensional conformal field theory, it generates Virasoro algebra and all that, and we have a space of this generates a space of fields which I denote FCFT, space of local fields. Of CFT, Okay, and that is built of representations of the Virasoro algebra, and also this space forms generates operator product expansion algebra, algebra of operator product expansions. And that's exactly what we are bootstrapping, or you are bootstrapping, when dealing with conformal field theories. I will actually use a shorthand notation for this structure of this space and the structure of generated operator product expansion algebra is what is called CFT data. And they completely define correlation functions and all. And I will use a shorthand for this data by writing ACFT. And I will pretend that it is an action, okay? A CFT action. So one can imagine that there is some set of fundamental fields. And the whole theory is defined through a functional integral over the fundamental fields with some action. And that generates the conformal field theory in question. I'm not going to use any explicit form of this action, because for many conformal field theories, you know better than myself. It's a bit problematic to write down to understand what fundamental fields are, and it's the choice is not unique, and so forth. All this kind of things, which I don't think I have to comment here. But I will use this notation, I use these components. So my setup will be as simple as possible. I mean, the strategy is, if at all possible, to make some assumptions to make the situation trivial, I will make it. So my space is going to be is flat R2, the two-dimensional space. It can be Euclidean or Minkowski, but I will usually denote x as a point, x by x points, and I will use the coordinates z and z bar. So coordinates are functions. So I will use the standard complex coordinates, which can be complex conjugate in Euclidean space or real in Minkowski, light cone coordinates in Minkowski space. It doesn't matter. But I will always assume that we have a flat metric, and that will be important when the deformation is made. So what is the deformation? So, but my geometry will always be as simple as possible. I don't want anything fancy, just a full plane, or at the most I will compactify it one of the coordinates on the cylinder, even torus will not appear. So now deformations. So what deformations? The deformation is just perturbation, as written in the second page of any textbook in quantum field theory. So I will consider an action, which is CFT action plus delta A. And my delta A will be anything of a sort of local form. So delta A, I will assume that it's integral d to x, O of x, where O is some element of this FCFT. All right, some local field. And basically, this is understood and can be understood in perturbative sense or formally, the deformed correlation functions are just there is some z deformed to the minus one, and expectation value of this multiplied by the perturbation, perturbed action, and I think in terms of Euclidean field theory, so. So that's a sort of definition. You can start expanding in delta A like mad to generate perturbation theory, but it's some technical part. So what perturbations we are going to consider? Let me find the eraser. What perturbations? Generally, the possible perturbations depend on which conformal field theory, but there is a universal part in any conformal field theory. So let me remind you again, I don't really need to remind you, there is a subspace vacuum modulus, CFT, which I call vacuum modulus, which is a subspace of FCFT. All right, and it's a space of, by definition, this is a space of all composites. Built from T, T bar, and derivatives T bar prime, and higher derivatives if you are persistent enough. All right, so this is a space, or in more abstract terms, this is a span. This is a conformal family generated by identity operator as a primary. So it's L minus N1, L minus N, L minus M1 bar, L minus M bar applied to identity operator. So this is a vacuum modulus, that it's present in any conformal field theory, so we can use it. And I will bravely assume that O here is an element of this, is just taken from this vacuum modulus, DFT. In other words, my delta A is integral. It's a functional. It's a functional of T and T bar. It's quasi-local functional. That means it's a integral d to x of some v function, which depends on T and T bar and all these derivatives. Well, I'd say quasi-local, that's some qualification which I don't want to explore very much. It's sort of a statement of what kind of states we have to choose on which this object is well-defined. But anyways, this is the idea. And I will generally call this, all right, a few minutes. All right, some remarks which are boring and trivial. In fact, this space contains total derivatives, so that they don't contribute to the perturbation. So in fact, V is taken from the factor space TFT over L minus one, L minus one bar. These are derivatives of FCFT vacuum. And so this is one assumption which I will make. It's not an assumption. That's basically a property. And then another thing which I want to mention is that, again, this one is made for simplicity. I will assume Lorentz invariance. And that means that V is built from scalar fields, spinless fields. And of course, the first, the lowest field of this kind, spinless and not total derivative, is just a product T and T bar. Apart from identity operator. And that is basically what gives the name to the whole activity. And I will call this kind of deformations as TT bar type. TT bar type deformations. Although there is a special class, which I will appear soon which I will refer to as TT bar proper. All right. So it must be clear what it all amounts to. So basically, we have a V which looks like some parameter alpha times TT bar plus higher terms, which can be alpha cubed, which can be alpha, let me call it alpha 3 TT bar squared plus alpha 5 1 TT bar. Cubed, and then at this point, derivatives could kick in, so there would be terms like T cubed, T prime bar squared, and other terms. So that's a basic structure with some coefficients alpha which appear here. All right. And just like I said, by definition, the correlation functions of the deform theory are defined as a correlation functions of the deform theory of A plus delta A are defined as e to the minus delta A, which now depends on TT bar. And the expectation value is taken over. I will ignore the corrections to the partition sum, to the overall coefficients here, which is really not important for this discussion. And you only have to remember about it when you do actual calculations. So that's definition. And let me before going to I'm doing too much of an introduction again, but what can I do? Let me do some preliminary dimensional analysis. Let me uh, Okay, dimensional analysis. The fields T and T bar are of the dimension of length to the minus 2. And so this kind of deformation, this kind of interaction term necessarily involves a scale, of course, and I will denote this scale alpha, scale parameter. Of the dimension of length squared. And so then, of course, this V is can be written as a the delta A can be written as a integral. So in terms of dimensionless quantities, we can write it as delta X over alpha, and now V depends on dimensionless combinations alpha, and then derivatives would acquire a alpha 1 plus n over 2 dn t and higher derivatives. So in fact it's convenient to I will do it in a second. All right, so that's a general a structure. The parameter alpha basically is, helps to organize the derivative expansion, as I'm going to explain in a second. All right. So if we do that, I actually did pretend. So this is looks very simple, but of course the in this definition, in this once we come to real calculation, there are two news about this theory, and this is a good news and a bad news. Which one do you want me to tell you first? All right, I will tell you first the good news first, because basically because you already know the bad news. And you know the good news as well. The good news is that this deformation defined this way is sort of universal. To a large extent, you don't need to know anything details of the conformal field theory, because the perturbation involves only the Virasoro generators, and so it all is controlled by the symmetry algebra, and so universal in any CFT, and depends on the central charge only. Essentially, many features depend on central charge. And the bad news, of course, is that as this expression shows, is that when we are doing something which is not strictly advised in the textbook, and that's what I actually tell my students in quantum field theory not to do, basically, is adding a perturbation, which is we define a field theory by adding relevant operators, but these operators are all irrelevant because TT bar already has a dimension 4, and the other terms are yet higher, and so, well, this generates a non-renormalizable perturbation theory with all kind of kind of problems with the necessity to introduce a cutoff, which would basically spoil this dimensional analysis, which I just naively did in front of you, and you probably was wondering why I'm trying to cheat here. Because the cutoff would introduce the cutoff parameter and so forth, and then you need to make renormalization, counter terms, and all this kind of complications, counter terms, and so forth. Part of the good news is that this vacuum moduli of CFT is closed OP algebra, as you know. And that means that all counter terms are furnished all needed counter terms are furnished are from F vacuum. All right, so this is a consistent at least theoretically consistent in perturbation theory. All right, just like I said, I tell my students that it's not really a good idea to do that, but I'm going to do that anyway. This is not illegal. Don't call the police. I just talked to my lawyer. It's okay. So my definition is this. And by advice of my lawyer, I decided to do something, to go for some dramatic simplification and take a classical limit. So all these legal dangers disappear. All right? So I want to take a classical limit. Further simplification, and this one is dramatic simplification. And that is to set C equal to infinity, or take a limit C going to infinity. And that is the limit, as everyone knows, in which the fields T and T bar become classical fields. All right, and that means, in fact, to be more pedantic, I write T as C times classic, before taking limit C to infinity, I write T as C times T classical, and then this renormalized T classical becomes a classical field, and exactly in the sense that fluctuations, quantum fluctuations of T classical are much are of the order of 1 over C times T classical expectation value or something. If we assume that T classical expectation value is of the order of 1, then fluctuations are suppressed by the powers of C, and so we can treat this T as a classical field. In fact, at the risk of confusing myself and maybe even you, and certainly myself, I will rename T classical to T, because until necessary, stop keep tracking on these factors of C. So my T now is usually this renormalized T, renormalized by the central charge. I don't want separate notations because further renormalizations follow. So this is true for T and T bar, and of course, of course, this applies to all composites. All composites made of this field. All right. And this is one thing. And second is that in classical limit we expect that the expectation values are determined by classical configuration. And that's classical configurations which extremize some action. And also satisfy certain equations of mode. Okay? Of course, the full set of equations of motion would depend on detailed content of the conformal field theory and perturbation, but there is a universal part of these equations of motion, which is expressed in terms of the fields T and T bar, and is shared by all deformations of this type and classical limit, and. There are some interesting features of these equations of motion, which I actually, it's one of the main points for me to discuss here. All right, so the next, what I'm going to discuss is some sort of universal equations of motion. This is not a full set of equations of motion, just like, every homogeneous quantum field or classical field theory shares conservations of continuity equation for the energy momentum tensor, but it's not the full set of equations of motion, but it's a universal part of the equations of motion. So what I'm going to consider now is universal equations of motion of this classical deformed theory.
Sorry, Sasha, can I ask a question? So when we say classical limit and we make this scaling with T, are we assuming something about the type of states that T is acting on?
It's a very good question. It's a very good question. Yes, we assume something. In order to make it fully consistent, we assume some sort of states. But what is important that no matter what kind of correlation functions you are considering, the T itself is a classical field. It's just, if you have insertions of heavy operators, then you need to worry about what classical configuration is. And if you insert the light operators, yes, it's not determined by classical configuration, but that's already a loop correction. So that's beyond the dominating classical limit, because with light corrections, the dominating classical solution is T equals zero. That's more or less the flavor of it. Right? So I'm considering now the dominating classical configuration, in which case the light correlations are trivial. the light correlations of T with light operator are trivial. No, not exactly. Not exactly. I'm going to arrive at this equation, and it's not a linear equation. So it has a non-trivial tree structure. Can we come back to it? Because I'm going to produce some setup, and then probably we can. Okay, so how to derive these equations of motion? It's rather straightforward. I don't really have time for that, but I want to, and so I will. So by definition, we have a. I will give you an idea. So by definition, we have a deformed correlation functions. I'm going back to quantum case. So undo the classical limit, and that's by definition is expectation value of the same thing times e to the minus 1 over pi alpha I forgot to say one thing, and let me use it. Let me do it at the moment. So here, generally, I started with v, which was a function of t and t bar and derivatives. So let me assume that v depends only on t and t bar, and because we want a spin zero, then v is a function of t bar. In fact, the parameter alpha helps to organize this as a derivative expansion, and there is a certain limit which I will describe in a second, long wave limit, in which the derivatives don't contribute, and so there is a consistent approximation. Consistent approximation of this sort. So let me assume that v depends. At the moment, let me say I assume that for simplicity, that v depends on t bar. Okay. Then I will write it as I restore this scale parameter alpha, so everything is a function of dimensionless. Functions of dimensionless variables, and that can be easily transformed by introducing auxiliary field. Which I call mu of x and mu bar of x. Okay. And introduce also the expectation value of e to the minus 1 over pi integral mu of x t of x plus mu bar of x t bar of x and e to x over CFT. One recognizes just the generating functional for the correlation functions of t and t bar, holomorphic and anti-holomorphic components of the and I will denote this generating functional h tft of mu and mu bar. It's generally non-local functional, of course, but it's totally under control and they depend only on the central charge. In fact, central charge appears in the coefficient here. So classical limit when c goes to infinity. C works like 1 over h bar as usual. And so when I do that, I can represent this thing, this deformed correlation function, as e to the minus ht of t. I'm a little bit not completely accurate, not completely precise here, but I think we can fix it. It's obvious how to fix it. Plus 1 over alpha w, integral w of mu mu bar d to x. That's what goes into exponential. And then I extremize over mu and mu bar. And that is already that is something workable in classical limit. So this comes with the classical limit. And W is just a two-variable Legendre transform of V. In terms of its variables t and t bar and mu and mu bar. Okay, so w of mu and mu times mu bar, it's a function of a single variable, is two variable of v of v of alpha squared pt bar. All right, very easy. The W, the Legendre transform, by dual nature of Legendre transform, extremization. If you do extremization over mu and mu bar first, then extremum taken over this returns you this exponential of E of T bar, and then you can take an expectation value to compare one and another. Let me put it this way. E to the minus 1 over pi alpha integral V of alpha squared TT bar is extremal of this times whatever, is extremization of the. Okay. All right, so this is already prepared to deriving equations of motion, and there are two components. One is trivial. One can make a variation extremization over mu and mu bar, which leads to the relation between mu and mu bar and classical T, and that is extremization. Extremization over mu and mu bar, which is part of this procedure, gives me t equals to mu times w prime of mu mu bar, and t bar equals to mu bar w prime of mu mu bar, and one can invert this, and actually I use inverted version, mu equals to alpha t g of alpha squared t bar, and mu bar similarly t bar, mu bar similarly alpha t g of alpha squared t bar, and g by it's simple calculation, g of x is v prime of x is the derivative of the potential. All right? This is one part of equations, the trivial part. A little bit less trivial part is the equations of motion, which the field T satisfies in the presence of mu. Okay? So if you have a theory defined by the action, ACFT plus 1 over pi integral mu T plus mu bar T bar over X, the correlation function, if you take a correlation function, T of Z, T of X, and whatever insertions, this correlation function satisfies the equation. The insertion T satisfies the equation, the well-known equation, which I still write down. It's well-known. DZ bar T, instead of being zero, now in the presence of this background field, is now mu times DZ T plus twice DZ mu times T plus 1 over 12 DZ cubed mu. All right, and similar equation holds for T bar, with Z replaced by Z bar equals to mu bar DZ bar T bar, plus you could restore it. So these are equations. And with these additional conditions, which I wrote down here, they become a closed equations for T and T bar. Okay? Whereas if I look at these equations, and I remember that mu here, mu is, I will set alpha to 1 at this moment, and actually usually use the units in which the alpha sets the units of length. And mu is then T bar times G of T T bar, where G is at the moment is arbitrary function because I didn't specify V. And so that relation makes this equation talk to each other. These equations, in some ways, have some resemblance to hydrodynamic equation, right? Where this they sort of kind of resemble simultaneously Navier-Stokes equation and KdV equation because of this third derivative term. So it is some sort of monster built from breeding between Navier-Stokes and interbreeding between Navier-Stokes and KdV. At this point, I can look at this equation and start to study them like mad, but there is something which seems to be a little bit off here. Basically, that's we made a sort of approximation where V depends on T and T bar, neglected all derivative terms here. And this term with this third derivative, remember, there is no central charge here because I already renormalized everything, just like I said. But this term with this third derivative seems to exceed the accuracy of that approximation. So generally, there are reasons to believe that generally, if I restore V as in the form of derivative expansion of this in terms of various derivatives of T and T bar, its effect if V now is t, depend on T, T bar, T prime, and so forth, its effect is that it becomes T bar times G, which now is also a scalar function of T and T bar and T prime and T bar prime and so forth. All right, so instead of having mu as a function of T T bar itself, it would start incorporating various higher derivatives. And neglecting these higher derivatives in G can be justified only in the long wave limit, where we are considering configurations which vary slowly at the scale set by this parameter alpha. All right, so it's slow varying function in the scale much greater than square root of absolute value of alpha. And in this slow, neglected in the what I call long wave limit. Or LWL. And in this limit, this term also is negligible. It's clear. You can make a scale transfer, a scaling of the coordinates, and then these terms are invariant. And if you dilate coordinates z and z bar by lambda z and z bar, this one gains a factor of lambda squared. So if you consider large scales, solutions which are large scale, sufficiently large scale, this term is negligible. As a result, when I drop these terms, I arrive at this equation which I wrote from the very beginning. This is sort of I wanted to comment on how these equations emerge, but basically just say one word which on the way that the meaning of this equation, the easiest way to do that is to remember that it's generating, that we are dealing with generating functional of this sort and treat it as expansion. Recall the word identities for the correlation functions of energy momentum tensor. And then it does the summation. The integration over x then is eliminated by delta functions, and you arrive at this equation. And the meaning of this equation is that if you have a theory in the background, mu and mu bar, this sort of more or less trivial deformation of the conformal field theory is eliminated, or much rather reduced to boundary term, by quasi-conformal transformations z and z bar going to f and f bar, where f is the solution of the Beltrami equation. Dz bar f equals to mu dz f. F is any solution to the Beltrami equation. All right. And this is the d over df bar of transformed t written in the coordinates. The condition of transformed T to be Galomorphic field in the variables f and f bar. Okay. All right. So I'm sorry. I believe I. Do I? Okay. Okay. So please suffer these 10 minutes with me. All right. So this is a. This is equations. At least this part, I believe I finished with the flying banner. But let me comment a little bit on the properties of this equation. Well, of course, this equation, just like I said, now it's a sort of Euler limit, right? I dropped the higher derivative terms, so it's very much like an Euler limit of hydrodynamic equation, and it has a number of properties in common with Euler equation, but it has its own properties because this equation has very nice features no matter what the function g of tt bar is. I will usually assume that it's expandable in its argument, so there is no singularity at zero. But of course, it's a homogeneous system, and we have energy momentum conservation. So here I have a components trace and ZZ components of the associated energy momentum tensor, which satisfy this continuity equation. There is, of course, a bar part of the of these equations, and so this is energy and momentum, which is written in very general form. In fact, it's possible to prove that these equations are integrable in very for any function g, integrable for any g, integrable in the sense that there is infinitely many local integrals of motion. So you have infinitely many functionals, t s plus 1, which are of the form t to the n, a n, let me put it, t to the n plus 1, a n of tt bar, and theta s minus 1 is t to the n. Bn of tt bar, and n is related to spin s n plus 1 equals to s is even number, so s is odd number. So s is equal to 2n minus 1. So for n equals 1, for n equals 0, no, 2n plus 1. All right, something like this. One can always choose the functions a and b so that this equation is satisfied. I have a feeling that there is a closed form for general function g. There is a closed form for this integrals of motion. We were not able to find yet the closed form. I produce a form for the. A very simple case, for the simplest case when the V is just tt bar itself. It's not tt bar proper, but it's just V of tt bar is equal to tt bar. In this case, just to have a flavor of it, the an of x are polynomials. Are polynomials which are defined by 1 minus x f to 1 of minus n, so it's truncated series to n plus 2 n plus 1 x. So these are some polynomials, and I do believe that a similar closed expression exists for any g. But it's possible to prove that it exists. Now, I unfortunately I don't have a time to show how the TT bar flow, which is subject to analysis. So let me say this worded list, TT bar proper, and it's a certain specific V, which is which cannot be which is not really very explicit to characterize, but in classical limit, so TT bar proper, what I call TT bar proper. It's a special deformation of this type in which, in quantum case, there is this closed equation for energy levels and all these nice features. But in this classical limit, it's characterized by y of mu mu bar, which is given by simple expression. That's something to derive. I thought I will be able to derive it for you, but I don't. I just claim this. This expression, and just like I said, in this particular case, we know that the quantum theory develops certain interesting features at short distances, which of course will be subject to be taken into account once you guys start bootstrapping the whole thing. All right, the features are that there is a some possible breakdown of standard notion of locality at short distances. This actually can be, let me just finish by a simple exercise. Let's consider a classical limit of the correlation function where I have some heavy primary field, phi delta of zero, t of z, z bar, t of x, let me call it t of x, and phi delta of infinity, and it's deformed theory. All right? And these delta are of the order of c, so these are heavy, heavy operators, and this infinity is understood in standard way. I take a point and send it to infinity with appropriate renormalization. And this is going to satisfy this equation as a function of x, all right? And if I send it to infinity in order to restore the rotational symmetry, right? And therefore, of course, these equations are Lorentz invariant. They are invariant if I make a phase rotation of z and rotate t and t bar in the opposite direction with twice a factor. Right, and so there is a solution which respects the symmetry, and that is captured by ansatz where you set t to be z bar over z times f of rho, and similarly t bar is z over z bar times f of rho. In fact, there might be different functions, but it's consistent to take them identical. And that the equations lead to some ordinary simple differential equation for f. And remarkably, this equation has a solution, can be solved in closed form for any g. And it looks like this 1 minus f times g. And g is a function of f squared, because it depends on g, remember those g of tt bar, squared equals to delta naught, let me call it delta naught, the dimension of the field which we started with, divided by zz bar. All right, so this is a sort of algebraic equation which for the function f, and as such it has algebraic singularities. We can see, looking at this equation, that generally it approximates the conformal asymptotics at large when you go move x far away from these assertions, but may develop singularities when you approach zero or infinity. And The nature of singularity depends, well, it's always algebraic singularity, but it depends on the specific form of G. In particular, you would have a algebraic singularity when you rho is some sort of Lorentz separation, and depending on the form of G, you would have a singularity either outside the light cone associated with the point zero, or inside the light cone associated at certain separation. Both possibilities strongly signal the breakdown of local commutativity. I don't have to explain in this audience that developing a singularity branching point somewhere outside the light cone is basically means that the commutator starts to stick outside the light cone, or alternatively, it could be a singularity. So one possibility with the most kind of, you know, maybe I almost say unpleasant, but maybe it's actually a sweet one. But so you will have a singularity somewhere outside the light cone. It's possibility one. And another one is something like this. And that means that the zero commutator would extend inside the light cone. I have no idea what it possibly could mean. So this simple exercise shows that the short distance features similar to short distance behavior of finite size energy, which was discovered a while ago for this TT bar flow for TT bar proper deformation, are very general feature of this kind of TT bar type deformations. And in fact, they show up in correlation functions where we can probe them against local commutativity. So I'm sorry, I took too much time and didn't really get to the some of the interesting equations, but that's talk to my lawyer. So there are several possibilities. Basically, you send the central charge to infinity, and you want to say what is controlled by classical configurations, right? I would say it this way. Suppose you have a well, I mean. To be very fancy, consider partition function or expectation value of energy momentum tensor on a high genus surface, or in the presence of heavy insertions. Then this correlation function of the type. T times phi heavy 1 plus times phi heavy n is going to be proportional to central charge times some classical configuration, which is the classical configuration solving that system of equations provided we are sufficiently far from these insertions so that long wave approximation holds. Well, I mean, there is a systematic way to improve long wave approximation, but let me stick to it. Times the phi 1 phi n, which in turn is determined by something which is not really explicit in this sort, in this system of equations. But this is the part which is kept, or you can replace these insertions by whatever torus or high genus surface or whatever. So this is a setup where you measure stresses in the presence of classical background. Maybe I'm not answering your question. Great. So may I try to absorb your question this way? Suppose there are light operators here. Suppose they are all light. So the associated deltas are not proportional to C, but equal to 1 over 16. Then there would be no term proportional to C. So this T classical part is trivial. That's what I'm trying to say. So you are asking a very good question, but that's a question about the term subleading to the approximation which I'm trying to discuss here. Does it sound like we're talking about one and the same thing? All right. I can repeat the question.
Yes.
There are two answers which are dual to each other. One answer is that I still don't understand the relation to JT gravity. And so in order to answer precisely, I get more insight. I mean, the relation to JT gravity, which appears in the literature, is a bit convoluted. I don't see the very streamlined relation, okay? What is doing what in this relation? But it's probably correct. I mean, the relation exists, and so the dual answer is that of course yes, if it is represented as a theory of gravity, we don't expect local observables, but that's a good playground to see what the notion of local observables can be replaced with. Because in your bootstrapping thing, you sort of use the notion of local observables. And so if you want to extend the bootstrapping, you need to replace it with something. Or maybe you already know what to do, but you didn't tell me. No, the logarithmic map which you have in mind is it maps the theory to itself if the theory is conformal. It will break conformal invariance. If you do it, what you suggest, send the zero to one, plus infinity and infinity to minus. I don't know. Infinity to plus infinity and zero to minus infinity on a cylinder, you will have a perturbation, time-dependent perturbation. So it would, where did we send what? It will increase like mad towards minus infinity. Towards the point where this zero is mapped to, right? So it's interesting manipulation, but it leads to time dependent theory. No, this equation is just you can make all kind of variable transformations in this equation, and it will remain valid in any coordinate system as long as you avoid mistakes. All right, maybe I'm not answering your question. So it's possible to do a logarithmic map. It doesn't seem to bring additional insight in this kind of theory. It's just like when you perturb with relevant operator, right? Then of course you can do that, but you will have time dependent background, which now grows to the other end of the cylinder in quite different manner. Oh, let me see if I can do it. Right. Well, I mean, you can write down deformation. You could consider the deformed theory. It has a lot of derivatives and that higher terms with higher powers of derivatives and so forth. On a classical level, I think that there is a general form of. There is a Lagrangian which deforms Liouville theory in this way. Specifically, what is done in the literature is a TT-bar proper deformation. You asked for it. I didn't have time to comment why it is not so surprising that we have all these integrals of motion here, right? And that is because the conformal field theory has an infinite set of commuting KdV charges, right, as is known. And they are integrals of local densities. And it is possible to show that with any, if you have a more than one commuting charges of local nature with the local densities and all, it's possible every pair of that, or if you have a set of commuting integrals of motion, so that generates a set of deformations, specific deformations, which preserve these integrals of motion. KdV currents generally are powers of T, but with some additional terms involving derivatives. So in the long wave limit, the derivatives don't matter, and the currents we are talking about are functions of T and T bar. And therefore, we expect that any deformation which in the long wave limit, any deformation is preserving, preserving the KdV integrals with some deformed densities of force, KdV charges of the conformal field theory. I'm sorry, I probably am not answering your question, but why don't you excuse the old man for a little bit of... All right, so Liouville. So Liouville theory was considered the deformation of the with the TT bar flow. And it would be interesting to consider more general deformation with the higher KdV charges and so forth. I don't think it's done. And generic deformation, which I consider here, is, yeah, so in classical limit, again, there is a limitation of long wave limit. What I'm saying, tried to say that if you replace g here by a function of which involve derivatives, this integrability breaks down, and so you need to choose derivative terms very precisely. It's possible, but you need to choose the derivative terms very precisely in order to still have this integral soft motion. This is a $1 million question. Well, maybe not million, $100,000 question. It's very interesting to see how all these deformations can be translated to the language of scattering theory. The problem, which we discussed actually, is that this is a deforming. The whole setup is a deforming of conformal field theory. So by construction, it's gapless, and so I still wait someone to tell me how to define S matrix and to define unique, useful notion of scattering matrix in such theory. Well, I was told a number of times, but. I'm waiting myself to absorb. That's more careful way to put it. My pleasure.